of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning in the reading from St. Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus speaking again in parables, and we hear this morning three, which, like a good joke, all start with the same line. These are not jokes, however, these are parables, these are ways of understanding what is to come. We hear Jesus say three times, "The kingdom of heaven is like." We hear it is like treasure hidden in a field, like finding a pearl of great value, like sorting out the good fish from the bad. And the parable of treasure hidden in a field was a great favourite of mine when I was a boy sitting in church, because it seemed to fulfil all the pirate dreams of a boy of seven, and making me wonder what on earth could be as exciting as the finding of buried treasure. That thrill, that wonder, that true sense of surprise that we would have as a child finding buried treasure, or indeed as an adult, is a glimpse, Jesus says, of what the kingdom of heaven is like. His second parable deals instead with a deliberate search for something valuable, unlike the find of the previous parable. If you have ever collected anything like football cards or dolls or plates or records or whatever it is, you will know that great sense of satisfaction and joy and happiness when you track down that hard-to-get football card or hard-to-find record to complete your collection. Such joy in getting that thing into your hot little hand. And you know, if you are honest, that when you find such a thing, you would pretty much pay almost anything for it. And so it is we hear with this merchant who sells everything to buy this wonderful, wonderful pearl. It's worth noting that in ancient time, pearls were considered as precious as flawless diamonds are today. And that merchant sells everything, we hear, just to hold a thing that makes him quiver. A find made even better by the exhaustive search that's gone before it to find a pearl of such quality. Lastly, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven being akin to the separation of a great haul of fish, which might not be something you or I are very familiar with, unless you're a very successful fisher person. But it was an action that was very, very familiar to Jesus' audience, most of whom who lived by a giant lake, and many of whom were in the process of catching fish all the time. And they would have seen this process of a huge net being emptied onto the shore and the fish being sorted out. It would have happened time and time again. And there are the great and lovely and tasty fish put in this pile and the not so tasty and spiny, chewy ones over here. You know, the ones that you don't order at the fish and chip shop. And Jesus uses this analogy of the kingdom of heaven being a place where the good are sifted from the bad, and therefore the reign of righteousness over evil. Now, Jesus' listeners are very much like us. They get these notions instantly. These are immediately apparent to us. And Jesus asks his listeners if, in fact, they have understood, quote, all this. And like you, like good Anglicans listening to the gospel this morning, they proudly reply, "Yes, we got all of that. Perfect. Tick that box." So Jesus then says, full of confidence in their confidence, and I paraphrase here, he says, "Right then, well, get on with it. Take this new way of seeing the world, of understanding the kingdom out into the world and spread the good news. But don't throw out entirely all the old ideas about the kingdom. just because you see things now in a new way. Take those with you too, because they are of value to you as well. So there we are, those three little parables: the surprise of treasure, the gaining of something precious, the judgment of the righteous and the evil. These are similes of the kingdom of heaven. I want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like. I suspect you might too. The whole reason you may well be here this morning is because with me, you yearn for a kingdom other than the kingdoms that we live in. A heavenly kingdom where justice reigns, where evil is vanquished, where suffering and grief is no more. And in Jesus' time again, people were no different and asking the same questions. What would this promised kingdom of heaven look like? And for them in particular, standing in front of Jesus, is this Jesus the one to bring about this kingdom? And so we hear in the Gospels of crowds and kings and queens and everyone coming out to hear Jesus, not least because he seemed to be the Messiah, the one who would bring into reality this kingdom of heaven. We read in the Gospels that huge crowds go out to meet him. They were so big that often he would have to get into a boat, push out from the shore, so that he could address the crowds spread out on the beach. He went up into high places so that he could preach to all those gathered in front of him. But what Jesus had to say was not always what people expected, or indeed what they desired. For many suppose with the arrival of Israel's Messiah, the kingdom of heaven would happen, would be made real right then and there. And furthermore, the belief that God had established a new world order with the people of Israel all depended upon the person of the Messiah himself. So, Jesus finds himself continually having to explain who he was as this Messiah, partly because we learn he was really the opposite of what many expected and what many in the crowds wanted in a Messiah. We hear about that difficulty this morning at the end of the gospel reading. What then is this kingdom to which Jesus refers to in his parables this morning? In Hebrew thinking, God was eternally king in heaven. But God's kingdom was not always visibly effective here on earth. There was a chasm set between earth and heaven, as it were. It was thought, however, that the kingdom would come when the Messiah came. But Jesus, the Messiah, comes and he radically modifies that idea. This is in contrast to many Jewish scholars who thought of the rewards that would be showered upon Israel by God when the Messiah came. But Jesus instead stresses the ethical and the religious qualities demanded of those who are to receive the kingdom of heaven. They need to act now as if the kingdom were present. And furthermore, Jesus is not what people expected. He questions the powers that be. He hangs out with people who were thought suspect. He hung out with sinners and soldiers and tax collectors. And at times he contravenes the very law at Israel's heart. We hear it this time and time again. He heals on the Sabbath, for example. He exalts women to equal leadership with him in a patriarchal world. So what will this rebel, this Messiah, say about the kingdom of heaven that is so eagerly anticipated by Israel for the duration of their entire history? Well, Jesus explains that the kingdom of heaven, in all its fullness, will manifest itself sometime in the future, which is very different to the idea that with the Messiah would come the instant vindication and salvation of the chosen people of God. And Jesus, they discover, comes not just to the Jewish nation, but of course to them and everyone. So, an unexpected Messiah and a different kind in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like finding treasure hidden in a field, finding a pearl of great value, like sorting out the good fish from the bad. For me, the key to understanding these parables is this. The kingdom of heaven will be as sweet as the sweetest joys of this earthly life. Simple, but joyous, and a place filled with the victory of good and God over evil. It will be all as Jesus promised, and I suspect, and then some. A place that we learn in Matthew's Gospel that the meek shall inherit, rather than the mighty, the powerful, the violent, the uber wealthy. A different kind of kingdom to the ones that so many make in our world. And the reason why it is so important to try and understand what this kingdom will be like is because this kingdom is our future. It is a reality. It is not a future possibility. It is not a maybe. It's not a might be, but actual. The kingdom of heaven will happen. And that kingdom is our goal. It is our focus. It is the point by which I hope we orientate our lives and build and work and love toward. And of course, to commend to others this way of being now, this knowledge, this understanding that in fact God is in charge when it appears that it may not be so. And to live as those who will bring into life here and now this kingdom of heaven, with our lives marked by faithfulness and joy and meekness and hope and faith. A life of faith in this kingdom that, as we heard St. Paul so powerfully describe this morning in his letter to the Romans, that can never, ever be severed or diminished by anything that this life can throw at us. And that is, as Jesus describes, a great and a priceless gift.